Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. May the imagery of today's gospel passage and its relationship to the Feast of the Nativity not go unnoticed. In fact, a little liturgical catechesis, from November 15th until December 24th, the gospel passages are specifically chosen on the specific Sundays to prepare us for the event of Christmas. So today's gospel passage is no different. We have a woman. A woman for 18 years had a sickness, and note what St. Luke says, caused by something, by a spirit. And this woman is severely bent over, and she's unable to look upwards. Note the description, and this is the gospel passage. This is an image the church gives to us as we're preparing for the event of Christmas. And when the Lord sees her, he speaks a word, and he touches her. What happens to the woman? She's able to stand upright. She glorifies God, and the entire crowd rejoiced. Is that not a microcosm? Is that not a depiction of what all of Christmas is about? Due to sin, the human person is stooped over by the weight of sin, and we're unable to look up to God. There's a great chasm between God and man. But by the event of the incarnation, and then by the event of Christmas itself, what does God do? He touches human nature. And he makes human nature able to stand upright again and look up to God, healed of the spiritual malady called sin. The mistake for any person to make, is to let one's illness, one's sickness, one's disease, one's disability to define that person. Whether it's chronic or temporary, whether it's psychological, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, we should not ever let our maladies define us and to weaken us. And it's all the more true with regards to the spiritual malady. Our habitual sins, our propensity toward disordered acts of love, maybe such as the forgetfulness of God, the love of pleasure and comfort, or a tendency to ignore our neighbor or to overlook their needs, to be unaware of people around us because we get so caught up and preoccupied with what I have to do today. It's erroneous to believe that sin is normal. Now, that's what our de-Christianized culture will tell us. It's normal, it's natural, it's the way you are. So, just live with it. Don't try to overcome it. Don't ask God to heal you from within. However, to sin is no more normal for a human person than that woman to be stooped for 18 years, unable to look up to God. Just as we should never become complacent with human disease, with human illness, with human sickness, whatever that might be, we as a society have never become complacent with it. And yet, as a society and in our own lives, have we not too often become complacent with sin? God did not create you and me for sin or to sin. God created you and me to become radiant, shining, brilliant icons of Him. To be icons of Christ. What does sin do? It diminishes the icon of God. Sin mars the icon of God. Sin disfigures the icon of God, you and me, the human person. Let's pray then. Let's fast. Let's practice almsgiving. Why? So that you and I will never become complacent with sin. Any more than our society and we ourselves and our family members and neighbors are complacent with cancer, with the flu, or with COVID. On the one hand, look at to what lengths and what sacrifices people will make to protect themselves from getting sick. COVID for 2 years. The lengths we will go to protect one another. The lengths we will go to keep our own health. Some people have even abandoned going to the divine liturgy and receiving the Eucharist. On the other hand, how many people will not make the same sacrifices, the same steps to preserve and to protect their life in God? And yet the physical body, it will decompose. Temporal life will come to an end, but the life of God, that goes on into eternity. Returning to the gospel passage, Jesus the Christ refused to see and treat that woman as simply a fallen creature destined to be broken and stooped, suffering from a malady, enslaved by infirmity, enslaved by sin. The Lord saw who this woman really is, the icon for which she is created to be, the beloved daughter of Abraham, someone created to be a child of our God, of God our Father. Broken indeed, but created to be whole. Diseased, yes, but created for health. Afflicted indeed, but created for well-being. Moving toward death, yes, but created for life. Tomorrow, beginning this evening and going into tomorrow, the church will also commemorate another example of someone who did not settle for spiritual infirmity as normal. St. Nicholas of Myra. St. Nicholas died in the 4th century in the land called Asia Minor. Today it's called Turkey. He had received a sizable inheritance from his family, and he used what was given to him, and he spent it selflessly and generously on the poor. He was known particularly for leaving bags of gold in the houses of poor homes, lest the daughters of fathers would be sold off into prostitution. And although he personally sought to live the monastic life, God had other plans. After he was installed as Archbishop of Myra, he became known to have powerful intercessory prayers. Because of his prayers, sailors would testify that their boats would be saved from wreckage in the violent storms on the sea. Other sailors testified that when men were thrown overboard by the powerful intercession of the archbishop, they were saved from drowning. At one point, the city was suffering from a famine, and Archbishop Nicholas prayed, relieving the city of its famine. Saint Nicholas also was not someone afraid to confront executioners in order to save the life of a criminal. He was also known to have a great zeal for the apostolic faith. In fact, on one occasion, while he was at the Council of Nicaea in 325, he got so angry at Arius, the heretic, he went over and he punched him. This historical man, Nicholas, actually did live a rather ordinary life. He lived a rather ordinary life as a man, as a priest, as a bishop. Why do I say that? We don't have any eloquent homilies that have been preserved by him. We have no real theological writings from him. And he's not a martyr. He just went about his business and lived a life of what? Prayer, genuine prayer. And he lived sincerely, charity for his flock. He ministered selflessly for them, poured his heart out for them. Yet it is by that ordinary way of life that today, this evening, tonight, we're going to be praying to him. We've made icons of him. How many other people do we know? How many pagan people do we know from that era? Now, nobody. But Nicholas, because he lived faithfully in a very ordinary way, his life, his vocation, we have icons of him and we pray to him 2,000 years later. Nicholas, because he lived an ordinary life of the faith, faithful to his vocation, was a son of the Father. He was an icon of Christ, and he was someone who radiated the light of God. Providentially placed during the Nativity fast, Saint Nicholas is given to us by Almighty God as someone to emulate as we prepare for the coming event of Christmas. Through his acts of selfless love and great generosity, Nicholas experienced the transformative power of divinization, where God became man so that man might become God. Christ is among us.